When the count goes 1, 2, 3, 14, it's time for us not to start the music, but to talk about technical analysis. And that's what we're doing right now with Buck Clintworth. He is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel, where they run the Chase Growth Fund, CHASX, and you can learn more at chaseinv.com. Buck Clintworth, thanks for joining me again on Money Life.
Thanks for having me back.
You know, I say again, and you say back, we should probably preface this with the fact that the last time you were here, it was near the end of March. We were 2 weeks into the pandemic. We were at a spot where we were saying, well, you know, we'll see what happens, and here's what you should be thinking about before the market returns to normal. But throughout, when it comes to technical analysis, the market has kind of behaved pretty normally. And return to normal? Hasn't this just become normal? So if this is normal, what are the technicals telling you is happening now?
Well, you know, certainly a lot has happened in this crazy year, and I think it's worthwhile to sort of look back at what's happened, because if you blink, you may have missed it. You know, earlier this year, we saw the end of a nearly 11-year-old bull market. You know, historically, stocks take 270 days to fall into a bear market. This time it took 16 days, the quickest move on record. That's half as long as in 1929. You know, when that happened, the question became, how long is this bear market going to last? And on average, bear markets last 14 months, with the shortest bear market for the S&P 500 being 3 months back in 1990. Well, 5 months after the market low in March, the S&P was back to its old high. We were back in a bull market. If you blink, you miss the move from a bull to a bear back to a bull market. So we're in a bull market now, and what can we expect? It will be another one that lasts for more than a decade. You know, you had people for years warning of the end of the last bull market, but each one's different, so we'll just have to keep our eyes open to see how this one plays out.
But what's your feeling about where we're at right now? I mean, obviously the technicals aren't necessarily trying to point out what's going to happen over the next decade. They're more likely to be accurate for you and helpful for you over the next 10 weeks or 10 days. But do you see things out there that suggest that we've got trouble ahead? Or, hey, we're going to get past the election, see how that plays out, and whatever happens, however the vote turns out, well, get rid of uncertainty, make the market happy.
You know, one thing I think you have to do is, when assessing the strength of the market and its outlook, is look beyond the headlines. And one of the reasons why is because the indices' returns are increasingly influenced by just a small number of stocks, and that can give you a distorted view of what's really going on. Let me give you an example. Through the end of August, the S&P 500 was up 9.7%. Now, that doesn't reflect the volatility of the year, but if your returns match those of the S&P, you probably felt pretty good, and you're probably positive on the market. When you dig a little deeper, things weren't as rosy as they seemed. If you look at the returns of the S&P 500 equal weighted index, where every stock is weighted the same, so you have the average return of the stocks, the return over that time was down 2.3%. That's a huge difference of 12%, and the difference between feeling really good about the market and saying, eh, it hasn't been a great year. Things were not as strong as they looked back then. Then September rolled around, and the S&P 500 was down 3.8%. But just like the first 8 months of the year weren't as good as they looked at first blush, September wasn't quite as bad. The average stock in the index was down, but only down 2.5%. You know, when you look beyond the headlines, it wasn't as bad as it looked, and that could have given you some hope going into October that maybe the underlying conditions of the market were improving. And through the first week and a half of October, the S&P has been up 3.5%, but the average stock has been up 5%. Those look and see what's really going on with the market. You look beneath the surface, and there's a lot of encouraging signs as we're heading towards an election.
So your outlook right now, are you moving into specific areas? Are you looking at the U.S. versus international and trying to figure out where to go? Or is this, you know, with appropriate braking mechanisms in place, is this let's be fully invested?
The interesting thing about elections in the U.S. is they tend to not cause as much volatility as elections in other countries. One problem with looking at international stocks is the turmoil that a lot of the other countries experience. Certainly, it's a contentious election. I'm sure there's going to be lots of things that you hear about how things are broken. but this isn't quite a banana republic yet. So we tend to focus on more U.S. companies because they have a stronger foundation than a lot of the companies in other countries.
When we get through the election,
mm-hmm.
we have the potential for the election to be contested. We have the coronavirus still to deal with. How long do those things dampen the market? And throughout it all, like I said when we started, technical signals have been working. So does it matter to you if the technical side, and at Chase, you guys do look at both sides, but if the technical side is working, is that what people should be relying on? And make it easy on yourself. Get rid of everything else.
I think so, because there's so much noise out there that just looking at the technical helps you look through that noise and see what's actually going on. You know, back in September, as the market was selling off some, you could have looked at that and said things were really bad. And you had two nearly 90% down days. That's when about 90% of stocks in a particular index go down. You could have looked at that and said things are bad. But that often happens before things start getting better. Of course, you need something to back that up. You need a rally, but on higher volume. And we saw that happen over the next few weeks. There was the struggle between supply and demand demand ended up winning out. If you would have looked at headlines about coronavirus, about election, about any of a number of things out there, you could have missed what was going on. And that's the beauty of technical analysis. It allows you to ignore all the distractions and just focus upon what's actually going on in the market and help you to make better decisions.
So quickly, looking out towards the rest of the year, do you have a level you expect to see the S&P at as we get towards the end of the year?
Well, the S&P has broken above short-term resistance of 3430, so that will certainly act as some support in case there is a pullback. You know, a lot of people out there have lots of thoughts. You know, certainly a rally to around 3600 isn't impossible by the end of the year. Even with the election coming up, that's more a short-term, that's going to be short-term noise as opposed to long-term. Even if there's questions about what the outcome is going to be for a few days, you'll go ahead and see volatility around then, but then the market has a tendency to go ahead and move on and look at expectations as opposed to what's happening right now. So I think the expectations are things are going to be okay. The market's going to be moving higher.
Well, I think things are okay. The market moves higher. That's what we all are wishing for. So, Buck, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Thank you very much.
That's Buck Clintworth, everybody. He is portfolio manager at Chase Investment Counsel. And if you want to learn more about him, the firm, Chase Growth Fund, CHASX, go to chaseinv.com. Okay, this was a great way for us to start the October 13th edition of Money Life. But up next, I'll be talking with Kathy Bosjancic. She is Chief U.S. Financial Economist at Oxford Economics USA. And then Alan Sloan from The Washington Post will be here. And we've got a lot of fun coming with that. So stick around. We're living the money life, and we're back at it in a moment.